Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a musical podcast where a layman in the musical theater world and someone who knows it quite well talk about a musical once a week or month, depending on the musical. I'm joined, as always, by Andrew. Say hello, Andrew.
Hey.
Or
that's
as
me.
As others could say, close on Andrew. He doesn't know much about Rent, but I don't think he liked it much.
I'm a star.
There's the typical Broadway musical, and then there's Rent. This is Rent, the musical for people who don't like musicals. Whether you've got 35 bucks or 80 bucks or even just 20 bucks, you can see Rent. There's nothing typical about it. Rent at the Nederlander Theater. Call Ticketmaster today.
I am so angry at you people. I was banking on you guys picking Hedwig last week. Andrew can tell you, that was what I was like, oh, they're going to pick Hedwig. It's going to be great. But unfortunately, this was suggested by Purple Biscuit, Melissa Goldman, Milton Melendez, Maria Veenstra, Critic Corner, Hannah Cook, and Ela Jones. I hate all of you.
You're all terrible. Please stop watching this show. We don't need people like you in the audience here, okay?
Yeah. All right, so let's give some background about Rent. Rent is a rock opera written by Jonathan Larson throughout the early 90s. It was based on Puccini's La Boheme and premiered off-Broadway in January of 1996. What I think makes it most famous is that Jonathan Larson died of an aneurysm the evening before the show's premiere performance off-Broadway. The show moved to Broadway posthumously. It won the Best Musical Tony posthumously. It won the fucking Pulitzer Prize for Drama. And in 2005, it was turned into a film. It grew popular and ran for 10 years. It's the 11th longest running musical in Broadway history. 11th.
Oh my god.
Oh my. Great Comet ran less time than Rent did.
Yep.
Despite overall positive reviews from, like, people at the time, it has since gotten a lot of criticism for its portrayal of homosexual characters, particularly the character of Maureen. And most of all, it's just kind of, it's not aged well. Now that we got all that out the way, I guess it's time to dive into the actual plot synopsis of Rent. All right, so we start on Mark and Roger. They are roommates living in New York, and they're living in a loft. They're not paying their rent because the place is owned by their former roommate. And his former roommate turned off the power. What? And expects them to actually pay for their house.
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah, they get angry about this, then sing this huge rock number entitled Rent. But then their friend Collins, a gay anarchist Ivy League tutor, he shows up and he's like, hey, I'm showing up. And then he gets beaten up because New York.
Gay anarchist Ivy League tutor.
That's exactly how Wikipedia describes
it. It just sounds so absurd when you say it. Yeah, he's a gay anarchist Ivy League tutor. Okay.
He is saved by Angel, who is the one, like, perfect personification character, because in the 90s, if you had a gay character, they could do no wrong, because the gay community has been through a lot, and you gotta portray them positively.
No, boy, are they portrayed positively in this.
Yeah. They kind of hit it off right at once. Either way, so Mark leaves for some reason because his girlfriend calls him or something. And while Roger's alone, he sings a song about how his girlfriend killed herself. Or Mark just brings it up very nonchalantly to the audience.
His girlfriend April left a note saying, "We've got AIDS," before slitting her wrists in the bathroom.
So then Mimi comes and does the song that they stole from the Love OM with the candle, and
it's all right. Let me say something nice about Rent real quick. Light My Candle is a good song. It both is a song and tells the story. I appreciate this in Hamilton with the song Say No to This, where it's a full story segment. You get like a full arc within the story, and it's still a song where it has like a chorus, verse, whatever. I appreciate this one song. There we go. I said something positive.
It's just so on the nose, though.
It is. Like, it's very cut and dry, but I appreciate it as a song as opposed to as a storytelling piece.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with that.
In that song, that Light My Candle, we find out that Mimi is addicted to drugs and is really wanting to fuck Roger. That's going to come up later. But she leaves, and then Mark and Collins and Angel show up, and they're like... Angel sings a song about how she murdered a dog.
Yeah. So, yeah, she murdered the dog in the most strange way. Like, jumped off a balcony or something?
I don't even know how she... I know she killed the dog. I don't know the exact method.
Later.
Either way, she sings the song Today for You, Tomorrow for Me, which I don't even know what that means.
It's like she's gonna give stuff to them today, and then tomorrow they're gonna help her.
But do they ever do that? Like, it's an introduction song, and it's fun, I guess, but doesn't really set up much aside from her killing a dog.
Well, they are nice to her later, I guess. They're all friends now.
Okay. They accept her right away because they're their buddy's boyfriend-girlfriend. And then their landlord shows up, who is also their former roommate. And you can tell he's an asshole because he tells a homeless man not to sit on his car.
Yeah, who would do that?
And he's like, can I please get paid? And they're like, no. And he's like, what if you stop your ex-girlfriend's protest of me making people pay?
I just love that this is the actual plot. There's a protest. Other people are using this guy's land illegally, and they're protesting to allow them to do it.
And he wants to, like, build a cyber studio so they can do their arts and get paid for doing it. Either way, then we cut to Mark, and he runs into... Oh, we didn't even mention this. Mark's girlfriend, Maureen, dumped him to be a lesbian. Or be with a woman named Joanne, who's a lawyer.
That's the same thing as being a lesbian, isn't it?
I think she's bi. I want to be very careful with my phrasings. Mark and Joanne kind of hit it off, and they're buddies, and they bond over the fact that they both kind of hate Maureen.
I don't understand the song. Like, why is it a tango, for one? Because it takes two to tango, and she's cheating, so there's more than two. That doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of which, then Mark goes to a life support meeting for people with AIDS, then we cut straight to that to Mimi stripping. And then she comes in, invades, and tries to seduce Roger with the death vagina. She's got AIDS. He doesn't know this, and she doesn't tell him this. I feel like there's, like, a disclosure thing here. Like, if they're to have sex, that's something you should, like, let him know.
She's totally not a bad person, though.
No, she's an angel. No pun intended. And then Roger kicks her out because he's got AIDS. He doesn't want to mess with drugs, and he doesn't want none of that in his life. He kicks her out. Here's my favorite song that shows up. It's called Will I? It's around. It's really simple. Just like, will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? Will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? That's all the lyrics. It's simple, gets to the point, and it's emotional. It's a good song. And it reflects Roger's feelings, and he doesn't want to die of AIDS, and so he decides, after 2 years of withdrawal and not leaving the house, he's going to go leave the house and chase after Mimi. While that's happening, Collins, Mark, and Angel meet a homeless woman, and she yells at them.
Everything's boring now. I'm losing it.
And then Collins sings a song about escaping to Santa Fe, which is it's okay. And then Mark leaves for some reason, and Collins and Angel have their love song. It's cute, and it's not terrible. Yeah.
Okay.
Then they all get ready for Marine's protest. Roger apologizes to Mimi for kicking her out, even though she invaded his room and house for no reason.
Now, Marine hasn't even been in the play at all at
this point.
She's
literally
right?
The climax of Act One, guys.
Yeah, she's not even in it yet.
Either way, then we.
There's been an entire song about her, and she's not even in the play yet.
Yeah. And then when we do finally get her.
It's the most horrible fucking thing ever. Over the moon.
Move
with me.
Sings Over the Moon, which is like the most horrible thing ever. And it's sure it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but still, it's 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it just seems to not end.
Yeah. People criticize Les Mis for being long. Not a single song in Les Mis passes the 4 minute mark. This is 5 minutes long.
This whole fucking thing just. This song is like a microcosm of the whole entire musical. It's too fucking long. It's just bad.
Wait, you said just bad and too fucking long. Let's talk about La Vie Boheme, which is next.
Oh no, what is this, like 10 minutes long?
Yes, it's 10 minutes long, and it's not even a song, it's a list. List the things that are happening.
No, but they said the name of the thing it's based on in the song.
Kind of. Mimi and Roger find out each other has AIDS, and then they sing a song about how they should be in love now. Joanne and Maureen break up, and then the show, the Act One ends. And what have we accomplished?
The entire Act One is just introducing characters, basically.
Introducing characters, a dog died. Yeah.
And the two people broke up that were already thinking about breaking up, basically.
Act Two. We start with them all in a line singing Seasons of Love, the song that everyone sings and knows from it because it's like at every American Idol audition and like every gospel choir sings this song. I hate this song, Andrew. We start with them on New Year's Eve trying to break into their old apartment to squat.
Illegal activity. They're justified though because they don't have money.
Whose fault is that? Either way, they get in, and then Mark gets a voicemail about like, "Hey, do you wanna work with me? We're a news company, and we liked the footage that you got of the riot." Oh yeah, did we mention there was a riot after the protest?
Yeah, he filmed that.
A riot after the protest, and then that got him some coverage. And he's like, "I don't want to make money from my art because it's selling out."
Then get a fucking job.
And right after that, Benny comes on in and says, "Hey, you can live here for free for a photo opportunity," and mentions that he used to date Mimi.
That's the whole thing, isn't it?
Roger gets angry for some reason.
Yeah, that doesn't even really make sense. It's like, okay, he used to, but he doesn't anymore.
Apparently Joanne and Maureen got back together, but now they're breaking up again.
Yeah, there's like a lot of things in this that are like off stage, I guess, where like you don't see them happen, they just kind of happen, and then we're told that they happened.
They sing a song that I don't hate, though. Roger's like, "You've been seeing Benny, haven't you?" And she's like, she doesn't answer, and then he leaves her. And they sing a song about how it sucks that they broke up. And then there's a song about that reenacts the sex lives of everyone in the show. Why is this here? Andrew, do you know why?
No. Dude, you're asking the wrong guy.
Why
man.
Is there a sex orgy in the middle of this musical?
Because it doesn't have a plot?
Then in the middle of the sex orgy, Angel dies.
AIDS.
AIDS killed Angel and she dies and then there.
That's why you don't invite AIDS to a orgy.
AIDS, where was my invitation? AIDS wants to have sex.
Well, they invited AIDS like 3 times to this orgy.
And like 5 different people. And everyone starts fighting at the funeral.
That's not what Angel would have wanted. Can we keep going?
And then Benny, their landlord, pays for the funeral, and then Collins tells him that Angel killed his dog.
Yeah, that's a good time to bring it up.
All right, and then Roger goes to Santa Fe and then immediately comes back and moves back in with Mark. And then Collins comes back and says, hey, I broke into an ATM, and if you type in this code, you can have unlimited money. These are our main characters that we're supposed to respect. And then they're all, like, drinking booze and, like, hanging out. And, oh, no, the lesbians found Mimi. And she's dying of AIDS.
Oh, my God. And then okay, I can go over this part. I remember this. She dies, but Roger sings a beautiful song he wrote for her. And she comes back and says, Angel was waving and said, you gotta go listen to that boy. Oh, yeah.
And then Mark plays his movie, which is basically a Windows Movie Maker project of him and his stupid friends.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's an artist.
And then the show finally fucking ends. So, what did you think of Rent?
It was long. It was really hard to follow. The music, a lot of it was passable, some of it was good, but the lyrics dragged all of it down. There's too many characters.
I bet, Andrew, here's a really difficult question.
Okay.
Who is your favorite character?
Holy fuck. the guy who wanted his rent, I guess. Okay, I can give a least favorite character, definitely Mark. He's just the worst.
How so?
He's so, like, preachy about everything. And he does this fucking... He gives the stage directions or whatever whenever he says something. Not the camera directions.
Because he's a filmmaker.
Because he's a filmmaker. I'm a filmmaker.
He shoots without a script, Andrew. Any other, like, grand opinions you have about Rent? I think Rent... Everyone knows what I think is about Rent. I think Rent is terrible. It's got some good music, and the music is good. It's incomplete work. Jonathan Larson died before he could, like, get it right. And I think he could have done some great work in the future after Rent if he had lived on, but right as Rent is, I think it's really bad.
There's no... Like, I want to talk about the plot a bit. Right. A little bit. I know we just went through the plot, but I mean, like, how the plot is structured. It's awful. It's
there is no structure, really, the more I think about
it. I know
it.
a lot of people watching this are probably like, oh, you're an idiot and you just didn't pay attention or something. But if, on your first viewing of this, it is really, really hard to follow. Like, there's so many characters and it just goes all over the place to different characters with different things happening, and there's things that happen off screen, and then there's things that happen that are metaphorical. And it's just, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on, like, halfway through it.
And the fact that there's no set and there's not much lighting change, it's just kind of like, there's no guiding you, there's no help.
Yeah, and it just keeps going and going and going, and there's like, I got some characters confused occasionally, because some of the, like... They don't say names, so, like, I didn't know that the guy's name was Mark and Roger until Jess had to tell me halfway through I was watching it. And then at the ending, it feels like nothing happened. Everyone's right where they were at the start of
Except
it.
Except one person died.
The only difference between the beginning of it and the end of it is someone died.
And we barely knew that person. Like, in the grand scheme of things, this all takes place in over a year. The first act is literally one day. We've known Angel for 6 months before she died.
I just experienced nothing, and I don't know what it was.
All,
you know?
All whip and nay-nay, signifying nothing. But this is one of the most popular Broadway shows ever. It, like, was the first Broadway musical to premiere in Cuba. It ran for over 10 years. It's the 11th running Broadway show in history. There has to be something there, right? There's something that we're missing, isn't it?
I don't know.
That's the thing that bothers me most about Rent. I don't get what I'm missing.
But at the same time, it's also juvenile, though. Like, it's not handled in a way that is nuanced. It's just, these people are perfect.
Now, Andrew, you also watched La Boheme. How would you describe La Boheme in comparison to Rent? May I first say, La Boheme is significantly shorter.
Well, number one, it's shorter. Two, the music is... I mean, it's very different, so it's hard to compare totally, but I personally think the opera is written better, mostly because of opera, but, you know. Well, there's a reason that it's still remembered, and it's really old. I think what it is Rent is lower brow. It seems like they took the story and they did it in a simpler way with...
They dumbed down the story, simplified, kind of, rather than like...
Yeah, they dumbed down the whole story.
But in dumbing down it, they made it more complicated. Like, well, I can follow La Boheme much easier than I can follow Rent.
They dumbed it down in like, different ways. Like, they didn't dumb down the plot structure and all that. They dumbed down the morality, you know?
I mean, I think it was too focused on being edgy and relevant that it didn't care about telling a story.
In La Boheme, I don't remember them singing about wanting to get out of their rent.
I remember them just trying to fool their landlord, like, at first, like...
Yeah, yeah, but they never actually felt entitled to not paying their rent. It was more like a how are we going to pay our rent kind of thing.
Right. Which is like Rent, what the song Rent should be about. Like, oh God, we're so behind on our rent. How are we going to do this? As opposed to,
and that's what,
oh God, why should we pay our rent?
And another thing with that is the musical itself isn't about them trying to pay their rent. After that song, it's like gone from the story. It's just like the landlord comes and he's like, "Hey, you don't have to pay it." And it's like, "Oh yeah." It's like, okay.
The only way I can imagine someone liking this is if they're too young to understand how the world works. If you are between 10 and 15 and you like Rent, I get it.
And it's like they're trying to portray these people as like, oh, they're just in hard times, but they're not really in hard times. The people in La Boheme are in hard times. The people in Rent just don't care.
Shit, the people, like, if we made Rent in 2008, it would almost work.
Well, there's not even any references to, like, oh, I lost my job or something like right. that, you know? It's just, they just don't have jobs, and they just don't want jobs. And that's it. And we're supposed to feel bad for them because of
imagine
that.
Imagine how much more powerful it would be if they were working on their art after working, like, 12 hours a day and then trying to stay awake working on it.
Or and then they get fired or something and now they can't pay their rent and it's like, oh shit, what do
and
we do?
And they can't find jobs, and then when they get, when Mark gets a job at, like, Buzzline doing what he enjoys doing for a living, and it's like a godsend. DVD of the movie is a documentary that explains how Rent was written by Jonathan Larson and all that up to his death, and then strokes itself a bit about being an awesome show. Jonathan Larson was a poor dude. Well, kind of. His family were upper middle class, and then he decided to live like a poor dude when he moved to New York. He wrote a bunch of musicals. Only one that I liked, Tick, Tick, Boom. That is much better than Rent, in all honesty. It's literally just about his life trying to be a composer, and it's much more compelling. And then it talks about how he wrote Rent, and then while creating Rent, was getting sick and died.
I honestly liked the story of the documentary a lot more than I liked the story of Rent.
I agree that I've watched the documentary many more times than I've watched, like, Rent itself.
I mean, it's a tragic story, honestly, though, because, I mean, he probably could have made really good works other than... I'm not trying to shit on the guy who wrote this.
No. But here's my question. Do you think Rent would have been as popular if he hadn't have died?
No. I think that it certainly helped it a lot.
I mean, it's like, would Heath Ledger have won the Oscar if he hadn't have died?
I feel like he could have had a real career, and he would have been really good. This might have been one of his worst works that he ever made, but he would
have... But let's take a look. Sondheim's first work is not the greatest thing ever. Imagine how much further
nobody's
he could have gone,
work.
Is more what I'm saying.
Yeah, nobody's first work is the best thing.
And this wasn't even, like, complete work. This was, like, he was still working on it, and, like, it was off-Broadway. So much changes from off-Broadway to on-Broadway. And it could have become something good within, like, a year. But he died in the middle of it, and people were too afraid to change things.
I'm gonna guess that if this had kept being worked on, they would have cut out a lot of the weird... shit that just doesn't seem like it needs to be there.
Mm-hmm. Probably would have looked more like the film.
Probably, yeah.
Speaking of the film, let's move on to talking about the film. In 2005, Rent was adapted into a film directed by Christopher Columbus, who also directed the first two Harry Potter films, Bicentennial Man, and the first two Home Alone films. Because, you know, that's who you want to give a musical to, right? It was rated PG-13, so they had to cut out most of the F-words and a lot of the grit that was really what most people saw as, like, one of the niche things about the original musical. Is like, it's gritty and it's violent and it's, like, it's full of swear words and it's adult. And it's filmed a lot on sets, and it's like the Disney version of Rent.
We're thinking that I was going to come in and turn it into the Disney version of Rent. That hasn't happened.
It's easier to follow,
It
though.
Is easier to follow. They streamlined the plot, and they brought in the original cast from the original 1994 production 11 years after they originally played it. Like, and so they all look in their mid-40s, and they're all still preaching these idealistic, like, man, anarchy, we shouldn't have to pay our rent, while looking like they... are businessmen at a fucking 9-to-5 job.
It's you're adapting something to a movie that basically the original doesn't even have sets.
The thing is, the movie is more theatrical than the original show in a way.
Well, yeah.
So baffling to me. They made the movie more theatrical than the show was.
It's still awful, though.
Like, it's no better or worse than the original show. It's just... strange. Like, they took what very little nuance was in the original musical and then took it away. Rent has many influences throughout the world. Like, it influenced pop culture. Like, I mean, it's touched, like, the mainstream in a way. And I'm pretty sure it, like, changed musical theater forever. It was the Hamilton of the 90s in a way. But then again, we all know how Andrew feels about Hamilton. Except you guys don't, because that was cut out. I'm going to put a clip of it here.
I want to say I hate this.
Rent, what is your overall opinion?
It's juvenile, and it's very scatterbrained, like me. It's a lot like me, which is why I hate it.
Rent is not the worst musical I've ever seen, but it is incomplete work. And it's hard for me to give credit to incomplete work. So I'm afraid to say it's not very good, and I think with a little work it could have been something great instead of been something eh.
I think it's got some good music to it.
Yeah, like I will listen to a couple songs from the soundtrack. I got a couple songs from it on my iPod. So, Andrew, what is your cheese rating for Rent?
Oh, God. It's like... oh, moldy cheese? It's disgusting. It's like not moldy in a good way. It's moldy and like, the whole thing is mold.
There's a good type of moldy cheese?
I don't know anymore. It's not good cheese. You wouldn't want to eat it.
Rent is bad, people. I'm tired of you people trying to convince me. Like, no, it's good. It's good because I like it, and I'm young, and I'm 15, and I'm doing it in my high school.
Will you light my candle?
Only thing to do is jump over the moon. Okay. Next week, I'm not letting you people pick nothing. I'm deciding next week.
Ooh.
I gave you all power for 1 week, and then you abused it. Could have talked about Hedwig and how good it is, but no, we're here. All right, so next week, me and Andrew are talking about Sondheim's classic Assassins.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, it'll come out a little faster than this one, because Andrew won't need to watch Assassins 95 times to try to figure out what the hell is happening.
Yeah, and I might actually look forward to watching it as well.
All right. Anything else you have left to say, Andrew?
To everyone here that likes this, what the fuck, dude?
I can't add much more to that. Thank you guys for watching. I'm sorry if we offended you with our opinions of Rent. I hope that you guys will come back next week.
Maybe they will.
Probably not. Either way, say goodbye, Andrew.
Sayonara.
Thank you guys for watching. Next week, Assassins. Look forward to it. Bye, guys.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.